Welcome back, listeners, to Built to Lead Season 4, Rebels with a Cause. Today, we continue the second half of our discussion with Dr. Davila on perspective management. Dr. Eileen Davila is the Medical Officer of Health for the City of Toronto. In this position, she leads Toronto Public Health, the largest local public health agency in Canada, and she managed Toronto's public health response during the COVID-19 pandemic. In part two, we'll be discussing a Forbes article with Dr. Davila. The article discusses three key skills in perspective management, and we will learn how she used perspective management during the COVID-19 pandemic. Let's get into it.
Our article for today is from Forbes magazine, and it's called Why Understanding Other Perspectives is a Key Leadership Skill by Stefan Serdek. As always, you can find the links to PDFs of our articles in the episode description if you would like to read them yourself or reference them later, but we will summarize it for you as we go. The author emphasizes the value of recognizing diverse viewpoints in conversations, as they lead to distinct interpretations and reactions to situations. The distinction between perspective and reality is explored, with perspective being defined as an individual's unique way of seeing the world shaped by experiences, values, and assumptions. The article underscores that embracing various perspectives enhances one's grasp of a shared reality. The article discusses three key skills in perspective management. First, perspective taking, which is the ability to adopt the standpoint of others, aiding in understanding their desires and concerns. The second skill, perspective seeking, which involves actively reaching out to grasp various viewpoints without judgment, promoting authentic curiosity and learning. And lastly, perspective coordinating, which entails leveraging the collected perspectives to gain insights and understanding impact on individual levels and making well-informed decisions. The article also emphasizes the importance of comprehending others' viewpoints and using them to make effective leadership decisions. What are your thoughts on the different types of perspective management skills mentioned by the author? And do you see yourself putting an emphasis on one skill over the other?
Yeah, so, this really resonated with me when I read this article. And I can completely appreciate the value of the different skills in perspective management. And to my mind, it's a question of what situation are you in? And depending on that, what perspective management skills are going to come to the fore, right? I think a lot of this is contextual or situationally dependent. But I will say that in my capacity, right, as the medical officer of health leading a large organization, I probably spend most of my time on the perspective coordinating, right? I'm not often the person in the role where we are having frontline interactions with our clients. Sometimes with our community, there are moments where it happens, but I would say that in my role, it's largely around perspective coordinating, putting all the bits and pieces together to figure out insights and to figure out, you know, how do we make good decisions based on all the factors that we have and all the understanding we've gleaned from these various exercises. So I think that the emphasis will depend on your circumstances. What's the goal you have in front of you? What's the objective, right? What's the task that you have in front of you and what are you trying to achieve? And then of course, what's your role in the process? I think these are all important skills to have, but how much you will play up one versus another will depend on your context. I think the other thing is, as I reflected on this article, in as much as it's about a decision making within a leadership context, I actually found that I was struck by the importance of these different skills, these different skills in perspective management, just on being, you know, in regular human relations, right? With other people, just your relationships in your personal life. Yes, of course, in your professional life, but just in interacting as a member of our community. These are really important skills. And they, again, will, you know, whether it's perspective taking or coordinating or seeking, will depend on, well, what's the situation? And, you know, what are you trying to achieve in that interaction?
And what stuck out to me, you talked about putting those pieces together. So even for decision making, sometimes I'm thinking about a puzzle. So just getting all these different perspectives to build that mosaic to get that answer or the challenge to kind of understand that perspective that we're looking for. And even towards that human interaction piece, I know that's something that you do. And I'm just reading an article, just so I want to confirm this story. I remember you were talking about there was a time where you were quite busy, you felt out of touch with your staff, and then you got an espresso machine just to have those interactions with your team on the floor. So there was no agenda, really just to reconnect with them. So I really just love that. How do you connect with your team? Those human interactions is important. And that helps us in our perspective taking and perspective seeking. And given your role as a medical health officer for Toronto, can you share how listening to diverse perspective, like the story we just shared, has influenced your decisions, whether it's COVID-19 or any other time during your medical officer tenure or even earlier in your career?
Yeah, so, you know, whether it's around COVID-19 or responding to any public health issue, you know, I can't emphasize enough how important it is to ensure that the decisions that we're taking, right, are absolutely one, focused on achieving the objectives, right? You're going to hear me say it over and over again. Improve health status, reduce inequities, preparing for and responding to outbreaks and emergencies. Every action we take has to be around advancing our core objectives. But doing that successfully, doing it well, having the desired impact, actually requires understanding a broad range of perspectives. So one of the things that I think is really important, and one of the things I really try to do, is to cultivate that group of colleagues that I can talk to about ideas, but to cultivate a group of colleagues who actually have very differing perspectives, differing backgrounds, you know, that represent the full diversity of the human experience. When I'm trying to puzzle my way through a challenging situation, oftentimes the first person I will ask, and I'm very fortunate this way, I have worked hard to cultivate relationships and what I would characterize as meaningful friendships with people who I completely disagree with on virtually everything, right? But we have a shared understanding of humanity. We just come at it in a very different way. And so when I'm puzzling through some of the most difficult questions, the most contentious questions, I find that sometimes the best place for me to start is to start with somebody who I know will completely disagree with me and start having a conversation, right? Help me understand this. Tell me about your thoughts on this. How did you come to that? What's at the root of that? It's easy to find people who agree with me, right? We tend to cluster together, right? In organizations, in friend groups, etc. So I have access to that. And it's not that I don't listen to that. I will go get those opinions too. But I find that sometimes the best place for me to start is with people who oppose what I think is the right way to go to start off with. And then you get a really rich conversation and you get some insight and some perspective on, you know, how others might view the situation. That for me is one of the most important elements. And that's why I go out and talk to people. I'll tell you that the coffee machine helps. Right? Being able to actually talk to people gathered around a little bit of food and drink is also, I find, a really productive way to have honest conversation and to elicit people's perspectives in a way that's not threatening and is even a little convivial, right? There's no reason why we can't be serious about achieving our objective and have some fun while we're at it. I think that's actually what makes life worth living, and it makes our experience.
That's amazing. And there is no doubt that Toronto, in my opinion, my humble opinion, has probably one of the world's best food scene. So you have no excuse to really go out there.
I agree.
So it's just right. another way of getting out That's there right. and trying something new with friends and family, hearing their perspective and putting it in to your own decision making. And I want to dive a little deeper into what you just shared. So in the article, the author emphasizes the challenge of distinguishing between personal perspective and a shared reality. So as a leader making decisions regarding difficult public health issues, where there are, numerous and sometimes like polar opinions, how do you personally, and perhaps as a leader managing a team, coordinate the varying perspectives and managing information overload to perhaps sometimes addressing current or even future public health issues in Toronto?
Well, I think there are a couple of things here. For starters, there is still a science, right, to public health, right? When we talk about public health, it is the art and science of preventing disease, of prolonging life and promoting health. Right, through a series of coordinated actions and interventions. So it is a combination of both. So part of this is going to come down to what is the best available evidence that we have in respect of the issue that we're talking about. So you'll notice I say it's the best available evidence, right? I think that we do put our faith in the scientific process. Fundamentally, public health has a scientific component to it. There's definitely an art, as I said, but it should be based on what is the current understanding premised on the best available evidence on what actions we can take to advance health, to address the situation, to control the infectious disease, or to prevent the infectious disease, or to prevent the chronic disease. Whatever the issue is, we have to bring it back to what does the best available evidence tell us. We also have to have the humility to understand and appreciate that science is a process. It is not a set of, hardened truths that are immutable and unchangeable, right? Our understanding is constantly in evolution. We saw that throughout COVID-19, right? I think that spoke to some of the challenges that were out there and some of the, one might even say, confusion and differing opinions, right? People said this, then they said that. That's part of making sure that people understand that science is a process, right? And our understanding is constantly in development. But there is, we have to make decisions based on the best available evidence that we have at the time. So that's exactly what we do. And we have to say, as I hope we did, and we're going to keep trying to do it better and better, is to say, this is our current understanding, right? And we're doing it with this in mind to achieve this objective, right? This is the evidence on which we're basing our advice, and here's the objective we're trying to achieve. If our knowledge changes, as our understanding deepens, we'll be back with more information, right? That's the optimal way in which these things go. That's hard. That's really difficult to do when people are anxious. But it is, I think, fundamentally the right way to go. And you know, I think for us, when it comes to making those difficult public health decisions, you know, we have to rely on the science. And then comes the art part, right? Which is actually about meeting people where they're at, right? That's the perspective part. How do I help make the science make sense? And part of that is, you know, recognizing that, you know, at the end of the day, right, in the practice of medicine, the decision rests with the patient, right? I offer the best advice I can, right? But the patient has to make the decision. And I think if we're going to be successful, and for me, if I'm going to be successful with the 3 million people that I have the honor and privilege of serving as my patients, then it is about getting to know each other, right? Understanding the patient where they're at, and then trying to make the science and the basis of the decisions meaningful and resonant for that population, so that they can see for themselves, ah, yeah, now I get why they're doing that. And I understand, you know, that this really is meant for us. And it's meant to benefit us.
And it is hard, Dr. Davila. And we're just really appreciative of your commitment to service. Just speaking to you today, we can definitely tell like your passion, your leadership, as well as your commitment to that communication, which we talked about is key. So I love how you talked about it's the art and science. So how do we be evidence-based, but have that human-centered design approach and making sure that we're listening, we're tailoring our message to the people, because sometimes some individual may not be able to understand in, let's say, a scientific terminology. So how do we relay the information in layman terms? So just thank you for joining us today. Thank you for the insightful advice on managing different perspectives. I think our listeners will definitely take a lot, probably have to listen to it twice. We may have to have you back again, because it seems like there's so much more to share. Exactly. I see it. Season There's 5, season 6, be three, ready, yeah. Everyone. And thank you for just sharing your personal, your professional life, even just the inception of this podcast. It really was a perspective seeking, a perspective sharing initiative through authentic leaders like yourself in the industry to share your gems and your insights. And quickly, what is one advice for early emerging leaders who are listening or tuning specifically for you as a superstar, and they're looking for a career in public health? What would be a quick advice you would have for anyone going forward?
So, right, honestly, two pieces of advice for aspiring public health professionals. One, don't forget, right? Go slow to go fast, right? Sometimes you have to go slow to go fast. The second thing I would tell people who are contemplating a career in public health is, look, if in any way, shape, or form the notion of practicing or working in public health speaks to you, do it, right? Just do it. Be prepared. It's got lots of challenges, right? I think anything involving human behavior and anything that seeks to change human behavior, right, in the pursuit of better health outcomes and reduced inequities, is by definition going to be full of challenge. But I think it's in those challenges that the greatest rewards are. So, right, COVID was incredibly difficult. Public health practice on a daily basis has all kinds of complexity and challenge. But it is, I would say, the most rewarding career I can imagine, right? How can it get better than applying your skills, right, to making life better for everybody in your own community, right? If that's your goal, if that's what you spend your days doing, right, how does it get better than that?
I love that. Thank you so much. And, you know, as we near the end of this podcast, there's a traditional way of ending it, and it's called a game of rapid fire. And you probably didn't know about this, but here we go. we're going to be sharing five questions with you. They're going to be personal and professional, just to get to know you a little more. And the goal is going to be for you to answer those questions in 5 seconds or less. First thing that comes to your head. And so, Matthew, let's kick it off.
Okay.
The first question is, what is one book, movie, TV show, or maybe a podcast episode that comes to mind when you think of rebels and disruptors?
Okay, so old podcast, a particular episode on Invisibilia called The Problem with the Solution.
Okay.
Have a listen to that. 2016, great podcast.
Amazing. Next question. Who is the greatest disruptor or rebel in your life?
My youngest son.
Amazing. In less than 5 words, how would you describe your phenomenal pandemic scarf craze?
fun, right? A moment of levity and fun, much needed.
And is it still on display?
I see you wearing one right now. I'm wearing one right now. It's part of my personality, and it's now just part of who I am.
I like it. What is one perspective you disagreed with when you were younger but have accepted over time?
Wow. That's a tough one. I thought these were rapid fire. You know, when I think rapid fire, I think
maybe too much fire
chips,
then.
Right? I'm constantly changing, right? I have come to appreciate that unless you're constantly changing your viewpoint and constantly learning, you're not alive if you're not constantly changing your opinion on something.
Amazing.
Last question and final question, fill in the blank. This might be a hard one. Rebels are
needed.
We like that. Rebels are needed.
Yeah, we definitely like that.
Rebels are definitely needed, for sure.
Well, Dr. Eileen Davila, thank you so much for taking the time today to talk to us and being on this episode of Built to Lead. It's been such a... We went through such a roller coaster from the start of kind of you sharing everything about kind of the foundations of your journey to how it was during one of the, you know, the world's largest public health crises, to what it is like now and what you've learned from it and how what you're sharing with learners like Matthew and I. We're so thankful to yourself and your team for leading us through those difficult times, and you continue to lead us today in public health. And thank you so much. It was a complete joy having you with us today on Built to Lead.
Thank you so much to the both of you. I had lots of fun too. And maybe we'll get back together for the next installment.
Exactly. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned, everyone. Thank you for listening today. And thank you for joining us on Built to Lead Season 4, Rebels with a Cause. Built to Lead is created and hosted by Matthew Goldburn.
And co-hosted by Mubin Lalani.
Built to Lead is a companion podcast to the Vernissage Health Dialogue Series at the Institute of Health Policy, Management, and Evaluation at the University of Toronto.
Tell us what you thought about this week's episode. You can find us on LinkedIn at Vernissage Health and on Instagram at Vernissage Health. You'll find both of these in the episode description. Today's episode was produced by
Dheeraj Thakur,
Matthew Goldburn, with music composed by Sindhu.
A special thanks to Wendy Nelson, Senior Fellow at the Institute of Health Policy, Management, and Evaluation. Until next time.